What I really wanted to ask you first, Lord Brockway, was how you ever got involved with women's suffrage, because you don't say much about your childhood and your family and your mother in your autobiography, and I wondered whether it had anything to do with your family situation or your attitude to your mother or your admiration for your mother or anything like that, or whether it started after that.
Are we on?
Yes, yes.
Very little. My parents were missionaries, and the result was they were in India. I was sent to this country at 4 years of age. And I think one of the criticisms of missionaries going abroad to countries where their children cannot live is that they are very much separated from their parents. And that had a considerable effect on me. Unfortunately, my mother developed heart disease, and I did know her during her last 6 months. But otherwise, my family associations had very little to do with my views. Mm. I went to a school, which was a charity school, the School for the Sons of Missionaries. It was organized on public school lines. We were marvelous at rugby football, and we turned out an international player nearly every year. Probably I would have been an international rugby player if I'd lived in Wales, where it's a proletarian game. But in London, the cost of rugby clubs was too great. I was earning 15 bob a week to play for them. So my family had very little influence on my views about politics and woman suffrage.
So how did you get involved? Was it via the church? You were quite active as a nonconformist, weren't you? You were congregationalist, in fact, weren't you?
Yes, at the beginning.
I wondered if that led you in that direction at all.
Well, I was a member of the Whitfields Mission in Tottenham Court Road. Sylvester Horne was very radical. And I lived with three other young men, and we used to go to Whitfield's Men's Mission because for 6 months you could eat as much as you liked. And on our low wages, I used to live one day on two bananas for lunch, or a sixpenny meal at a vegetarian restaurant for what had been eaten the day before. A sixpenny meal at Whitfield's was quite important to my diet and our diets. And Sylvester Horne had considerable influence on me. He was a radical. He became a Liberal Member of Parliament afterwards, but never succeeded in the House of Commons. But that, apart from my own political enthusiasm, had a good deal to do with my political education.
Did you get lots of educational activities going on in nonconformist congregational churches at that time? And were there a lot of classes and instruction groups and that sort of thing?
The Brotherhood movement was very strong, particularly in nonconformist churches. At Whitfield's Mission in London, there would be a crowd of 800 men. And Sylvester Horne always had, as the speaker, the man of the week. It was an area where the Labour Party was winning by-elections, and we very often had the victor at an election. And it really was a progressive education.
So that would lead you towards women's suffrage, would it, do you think?
Partly. It was much more Keir Hardie. I was a young journalist. I was instructed my editor to interview Keir Hardie. I did in his rooms in Neville's Court. Afterwards, I occupied them. And he was very suspicious of journalists. He walked up and down the room, answering my questions. And then he said to me, if you put your pencil or notebook away, I'll talk to you. I went to see him as a young liberal. I left him as a young socialist. And he emphasized very strongly indeed the importance of the women's movement and women's enfranchisement. And in my early days as a socialist, I became just as much an enthusiast for women's equality, largely under Keir Hardie's influence, as I had been for socialism itself.
So did you join the WSPU, the Mrs. Pankhurst organization?
No, I never joined, but I became very sympathetic to it. I wrote to them and said, as a young journalist, I would be very glad to help. Their offices were in Lincoln's Inn Fields. I was shown into a room, and to my amazement, Mrs. Pankhurst, Christabel, is that right?
That's right, the eldest daughter, yes.
And Anne Kenny came into the room to interview. And they saw this boy of 19 or 20. And instead of using me for journalistic purposes, they put me to addressing envelopes. At that time, I was cooperating with a man whom I met at Whitfield's, whose name was something Spinks. Oh, he was a very adventurous person, became converted by me to socialism, led a great strike in the East End of London of women workers, failed in its purpose, but insisted that until he got every woman a job at the wage they demanded, he would stand by them. And he did. He went to live in Broughton Houses until he had got the last woman who was on strike a job. Through him, I became introduced to his sister, who was named Jessie Spinks. She was a suffragette and adopted the name of Vera Wentworth. She was very active in the suffragette campaign. I became very fond of her. She used to be imprisoned in Holloway Jail under cat and mouse, would go on hunger strike, would nearly die. They would allow her out until she recovered health. They took her back. And again she was imprisoned in Holloway Jail. She was my first girlfriend. And I used to go and meet her at the gates of Holloway Jail in the mornings.
When she was released, you mean?
When she was released. And we were very fond of each other. And our companionship only broke up when the suffragettes took to arson and took to physical violence. With that, I could not agree. And our friendship broke. But Vera Wentworth became one of the most militant suffragettes, assaulting Lloyd George and other ministers. Oh, I had a great regard for her enthusiasm, but I could not follow her activity in arson and physical violence, and our friendship broke. I then transferred my activities to the constitutional movement.
Mrs. Fawcett's?
Mrs. Yes. Fawcett was chairman. They eventually agreed to support the Labour Party. We had a great...